Hey everyone, welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts Ben, Rob, and Seth. We're investigative researchers who look into topics the mainstream media can't or won't report on because they're lame. And then we share what we find with all of you, plus we do a lot of joking around in the process. And speaking of jokes, today the internet is going wild. Since Elon Musk officially bought Twitter, it seems like the bots aren't censoring memes or artificially inflating likes on blue checkmark accounts. So people are finally posting what they really think. What do you know? We'll share a few of the funniest posts with you tonight.
But Elon says he bought Twitter as a step towards creating an everything app, which sounds kind of like Skynet or something out of Terminator. So is the future of the metaverse not with Facebook, but instead with a new social media empire? Well, this Friday Night Live, we're going to break down what's really going on and get into why Amazon and Facebook stocks are plunging, Kanye and Trump's social media progress, and so much more.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. And
what the heck is that?
I guess I'm the only one who got the memo. But anyway, happy Halloween, you guys. But then stay tuned for our exclusive segment on Rise.tv, a dig deep Q&A where you can ask us your questions directly. And then the top 10 weirder news of the week with alien stories, a drug bust implicating a major news network, mythical creatures found in real life, and the top spirit Halloween memes that we found, which are hilarious. But now, let's jump right into Elon, Twitter, the metaverse, and the new social media empire, and how the fact that I seem to be the only one dressed up.
Well, and if y'all are watching this on podcasts, please definitely leave us a 5-star rating and review so that you can make fun of Ben with us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Ben, you know, I realized who you're dressed up like.
Who am I?
I think you're trying to be R2-D2, but I actually think you're the guy from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure with the shades.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that is just a funny.
So is it supposed to be R2, though?
I mean, it could be. Sure. It's like a combination between R2 and C-3PO. Maybe that's it.
Ben 3PO.
That's pretty funny.
I think it's unfair, though, to say that you're the only one that dressed up because...
Well, actually, you are dressed up, Seth.
Well, I mean, I dressed up as like an old like English gentleman, and Rob dressed up like a Bigfoot hunter. So, I mean, you know,
it all works
I think
out.
In a lot of ways that Rob and I are more extravagant with our outfits. Like if I saw you in real life, Ben, wearing that, I wouldn't think anything of it.
I'd be like,
right? Ben. You know. But if I saw Rob, I'd be like, man, he's get back from hunting Bigfoot. Were you out at Mount Shasta?
Yeah,
that's how you ask him. Rob.
Shotgun in my hand? No.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So what's how have your guys' weeks been? Tell me about it.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Intense. Like, so a few things for me. I mean, just this whole Elon Musk thing has just been a breath of fresh air. Just kind of seeing someone come in who isn't on either side, wants just like a discussion to happen. Like, finally, we're not being children about this whole thing. That's great to see. Aside from that, some strange things, revolving around some of the content I've been putting up on Instagram. I did a survey last night on what was the strangest or creepiest experience people had. And the amount of comments I got back about people that had seen shadow people like in their home was like weird enough for me to be like, I need to look into this. Like, what is this thing? You know, but it's like, you know, these like very vivid experiences of like walking upstairs and there's like a shadow person in their room and they don't know what that is. Right. So it's just, that was just really weird. Just kind of, you know, I'm really curious. Like, I mean, anyone out there watching this right now, please leave a comment below if you've seen something like that, just because, you know, how many people have actually seen that? That's really strange. Yeah.
Actually, I'll tell you quickly, Rob. So one of my co-workers back in New York City, he lived in Jersey and he would ride, he had like a longboard, he'd ride like the bus station or whatever, and like one day like he came in and he was actually still kind of freaked out from the night before, and I was like, dude, like this guy was like the most like straight shooter, he would never tell tall tales, you know, like I think he was like this really devout Catholic, really nice guy, and he was like shocked. I was like, what happened? And he goes, man, he goes, you're not gonna believe me. I said, well, no, what happened? He goes, So he was riding his skateboard home in Jersey on like a neighborhood street. And there's just like every, you know, say a couple hundred feet, there's like street lamps that light up the street.
Jersey
and
Devil.
He was riding. What's that?
Jersey Devil.
No. Oh, so anyway, awesome. As he is going, he looks up and like, I think it was maybe like 50 to 100 feet ahead of him, standing under the street light is this like probably like 8 foot tall guy.
He saw Slender Man
with a white face.
What?
And like Ray. all like black, but he had no face. He was like he couldn't describe it. He's like, he had no face.
Hear the story.
And then he like freaked out and he turned around and he looked back and there's no one there.
Wow.
Like it was, and it like it scared the crap. He was like, you know, you said, gosh, you look like you saw a ghost. Like this was like that look. And that was kind of just a crazy, crazy story.
Wow.
That's freaky.
That is crazy.
Try to top that, Ben.
I do have some.
I bet Ben could top that.
I have seen weird things, but I'll say I haven't seen anything quite like that. But ghosts, yeah. I mean, even with your brother, Seth, him and I.
Oh yeah, the kid in the basement.
Kid in the basement thing. Yeah, that was super freaky. Maybe we'll get into that later. But it's Halloween, I guess. We can kind of share maybe some of our crazy ghost stories if we wanted to. But I had something interesting happen to me in the last 2 days. So right after our live show yesterday, I just went to the grocery store before they closed because I had like zero food here.
And you saw the Imiku, the Ekamu.
No, not quite. But no, I was just kind of walking around and this guy just kind of walked by me and he was just kind of like staring at me. And he just kind of was like that. And I was like, you know, I'm like, this is kind of weird. I don't know if he like, you know, maybe he recognizes me or something. And then he's just like, Ben? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I was just watching you. he's like, this is crazy. And he's like, literally, I was just watching you guys. He's like, I had to go to the store. And I was like, yeah, me too. And he turns out he's from Texas and he's he's an insurance adjuster for homes. And they sent him here for 2 weeks.
Whoa.
And I was like, no way. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm on Rise TV and he said his name, but I can't remember. But it was so funny because I was awesome. Like, oh, I kind of need an insurance adjuster, actually. So it's like, you should come over and look at my house. So I was like, that's hilarious. Then today, I just went to go get lunch at this place and I was just eating. And then this woman came over to me and she's like, are you from Edge of Wonder? It's like, yeah. So she's like, oh, I loved Edge of Wonder, you know? And then I was like, well, yeah, you can find us on Rise TV now and everything else. But it was just so funny. She was like looking online and she was showing her friend. She's like, is this the same guy sitting over there?
That's great.
She's like, how's Rob? And I was like, oh yeah,
he's good. Terrible. You were like awful, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just really funny because you know, I wasn't really expecting this, especially kind of being here after everything that's going on. But yeah, so it was just kind of funny. So it was just kind of inspiring, I guess you could say, you know. So what about you, Seth?
Well, I wasn't here last Friday because I was driving to Pennsylvania for a Reawaken event with Clay Clark. And it was probably like, you know, I've been to quite a few of these, but it was maybe one of my favorite ones. And there was a really big crowd. It was maybe, you know, I think over 5,000 people, you know, in attendance. But the energy was just so incredible. And usually at these events, I'm kind of hanging out backstage and kind of like in like the various areas because, you know, or I go up on the stage, like I'll go stand with Clay or General Flynn and just kind of like watch the speeches. It's kind of a cool vantage point. But I got to meet Eric Trump, which, you know, briefly, which was really cool. And I think I'm actually going to be able to interview him within the next like couple of weeks, hopefully, just trying to finalize that. So that was really cool. It's funny because I was talking to Clay And Clay was like, yeah, he's like, you know, he's really changed like a lot since he's been part of the Reawaken tour. Cause now Eric Trump is like, you know, one of the main people on the tour. Like he's like really passionate about it. And so it was just a really, that was like kind of neat because just for all the obvious reasons, but just like meeting all these people. But actually I was most excited because I got to meet Katie Hopkins. And I'm not sure if you guys know Katie Hopkins, but she's the she's British and she's like a firecracker and she's so funny.
Yeah, but she's been, with her.
Yeah, I put a picture up, but she's just like so. She's also going to come on the show, and she was like so. She was really happy to meet me, and she's like we were texting back and forth, like oh, such great energy. But it was really funny because this just describes her personality like, perfectly. So she's not vaccinated, and so she's technically not allowed to come to America, but she wanted to come here to like help Americans fight for the midterms because she believes like America is so important. And so she had to like cross the Mexican border to get into America to come up to the show. And then, and before here, she was in Australia, but she got deported from Australia because she was not vaccinated. And she was like, no, it wasn't that she was not, she was causing all kinds of trouble in Australia, like just like holding rallies and, you know, speaking up and just like really kind of shaking the tree there. And so when she got deported, they stamped her passport with like a red deported stamp for Australia. And she said that as soon as it was so funny, she was like, she goes, hey, Clay, and with her action, she was like, can I be naughty? And Clay was like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, she's like, I'm going to be naughty, Clay. And she was like, and she like lifted up her skirt and showed her butt cheek. And she had a deported tattoo on her butt cheek. And so she was like, as soon as I crossed the border from Mexico into America, she's like, I found a tattoo parlor and I gave him my passport. And I said, tattoo deported on my butt cheek.
Yeah, that's insane.
It was so good. I mean, it was just like, it was so good. So anyway, that was really cool. And then I got to give a speech there. And then I realized after giving a speech, Clay, I was like, how many people are watching this? He's like, oh, he's like, we got a million watching live. And I was like, holy smokes. And that was just like really cool because it was like, wow. Cause the speech was like, and I think we're gonna turn it into a video and make a cool video about it. It was really about, hello there. It was about like cultural Marxism and like the CCP. And so just, it was like a really, I think, important, just speech for people to really hear, you know what I mean? Like, cause it was really kind of getting into, you know, how we have to have compassion for our neighbors and unite together. And, you know, anyway, so just like, it's this good feeling of like, wow, I feel like I was like doing what I was supposed to do. And that's a really amazing feeling. I'm sure a lot of people that are watching have had that feeling when you're just like, when it's like, you're aligned with your soul's mission, like here on earth, it's like the best feeling ever. You know, and I know that you guys, we've talked about that before, but that was like, that weekend was that kind of feeling. It was like, this is my, like the alignment for me.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a pretty cool weekend.
Very awesome. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Sounds like it was really fun. It was the whole weekend too, right?
So the event was Friday, Saturday. I got there kind of midday Friday and then left like Saturday late night. So almost the whole weekend. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, you guys, we're actually, we're going to be getting into a bunch of stuff tonight, including, of course, Elon Musk, a bunch of Facebook stuff, you know,
Amazon.
Yeah. Kanye. Getting into the Hu Jintao thing a little bit, like what happened. I got a little bit more information on that.
Cool. Yeah. I'm excited to hear what your guys' point of view on that.
I think, why don't we, before we get into all of that, since we're close enough anyway, why don't we get into do the first trailer here? And you guys, it's almost Halloween, and that means everyone's talking about monsters, ghouls, and ghosts, kind of like we were at the beginning of this.
And robots.
Yeah.
Robots. Also, I want to tell you guys quickly. Erin Migatosis, she sent you both an email with a really long story. So just want to say, hey, read that.
I responded in the chat there. I'm about two thirds away from that. I'm two thirds through it. I just got interrupted while I was reading it, but I want to finish it. It was really, intense. Like, I'm looking forward
I feel left out.
Yeah. But anyway, if you guys want to learn more about the true history behind Creatures of the Night, check out our extensive catalog on Rise TV. We have about 20 episodes on vampires, the Salem witch trials, cryptids, cannibalism, and a whole lot more. So check out these trailers to see just a few.
Dragons.
Thousands of years in the making, we arrive at this point in time. From ancient demons of the Cabal to Adam, Eve, Lilith, Noah, the Canaanites, Phoenicians, and black nobility, we come to this epic conclusion. Through many twists and turns to a final stop at the food industry, we'll look at the companies involved in directly influencing the choices we make, and more importantly, what they are adding to our food supply. Do we really know what's in the food we eat? After this episode, we guarantee you'll never look at food in the same way again. Get the truth now, only on edgeofwonder.tv.
Leathery wings. Scaly body. Razor sharp teeth. Deadly claws. A gallant knight on the hero's quest. Slays the monstrous beast and rescues the princess. The fire-breathing dragon is no more. The creatures that hide in our skies have been spotted for millennia. Were the legends just written for storybooks? Is it really coincidence that ancient artists on opposite sides of the globe all depicted dragons? What secrets have our textbooks on dinosaurs entirely left out? Maybe intentionally. From the historical to the spiritual, from good dragons to evil, this is an exploration of epic proportions into the mysterious world of dragons. So come, journey forth with us, Knights of Wonder, and explore the tales of the cryptids on episode 1, Dragons.
That is awesome. So you guys, that guy I met, Joseph, I couldn't remember his screen name though, but he's here in the chat right now watching it.
No way.
Yeah. So I was like, or at least he just texted me and said, oh, I'm watching. I just heard you like talk about me. I'm like, that's awesome. So I'm glad you're here. So that's pretty funny.
That's really cool.
Good stuff there. Yeah.
Well, you guys, let's get into it.
Yeah. You know, I think we should start with the Hu Jintao thing because,
yeah,
because everything, there's so much to talk about with everything else that I want to make sure we get to this, and it's, this will be shorter compared to everything else. So why don't we just jump right into it?
You guys want me to tell you what I think?
Yeah. So let's, Lindsay, if you could play this first before you jump into this, so we can kind of, some people may have no idea what this is. So Hu Jintao was the former leader of China, and that's who's sitting next to Xi Jinping there. And they're asking him to leave, and they're escorting him out, which is really crazy.
Now look at Xi's response and what he says to him. He's like,
why are you doing this to me? I don't know. Maybe he just said goodbye. I don't know what he said, honestly.
He just said, I love you.
Definitely look romantic.
So this is a huge, huge thing because in China everything's all about presenting strength and
well it's all about appearances
and loyalty and like all this stuff. So honestly, I'm kind of at a loss for what is really going on here. Like I kind of have
and this only shows the part where he's getting taken away. But before that, the dude next to him is talking to him and trying to talk through something that Hu Jintao doesn't seem to understand. And so it's not that guy. It's the guy to the right of
of Xi Jinping.
Yeah. So the other side. Yeah. That guy. Mm-hmm. And he's standing there talking to him, and Hu Jintao just can't understand what's in his folder. And he keeps looking over at him and asking questions. Then he even looks over at Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping kind of like, it starts to get uncomfortable. And then this guy comes over and starts to try to take him away. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's what I think happened. These Congress things are basically to nail down who's going to be like, which groups are going to be in charge of different things for the Chinese Communist Party for the next 5 years. Okay. So it's like they have them every 5 years. What looks like happened is previously Hu Jintao was involved in this administration's work, and he was told that he was going to continue being in their administration's work. He sits down expecting to open the folder and see that he's involved. His name's not on there. The guy starts to explain to him what's going on, and then he has to get escorted away. So I think now this is just a theory on what could have happened. Okay. I don't have like a lot of evidence to back this up, but I'm putting together like basically what the Congress is about. The fact that Xi Jinping is sitting right next to him, he's coming there expecting to open a folder and see something that he's been told is going to be in there. He doesn't see it and he's confused. So I think, you know, it regardless of that, it's a very, like we've talked about this, it's a very strong signal that you're sending when someone gets physically removed from a meeting like that. It's never as simple as just probably even what I just said.
So
but, you know, it does look like Hu Jintao is not going to be involved, you know, moving forward. So,
Seth, what about you? What do you think?
Well, I think that there's obviously like they're always sending messages, right? Like that's it's kind of like, you know, like it's almost like imagine if, you know, you work at a company and you wait to the board meeting to like fire your COO, you know what I mean? And you're in a board meeting, and everyone's sitting there, and all of a sudden, like in the middle of the meeting, like security comes in and escorts them out. It's like you could have done it beforehand. Right, but it's obviously done to embarrass people. It's done to send a message. You know, I interviewed Jeff Nyquist, and the interview's up. It's up on Rise now, actually. And I asked him about this because you know he's a China guy, and he said, "Look, he goes honestly. He's like, it's really really hard to know because the communists are all there's always layers and layers of propaganda, and Hu Jintao could have been completely in on it." For all we know, like it could have been something that he had to do that he agreed to have done because of something. Maybe it was a way, like maybe he had to show his loyalty to Xi Jinping. And like, that's actually how he would have shown his loyalty is by like kind of publicly being disgraced in front of him.
That's
right. Because I've heard varying understandings of things. I've heard people say that like Hu Jintao was actually part of like the Zhang faction.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's got like Zhang's backing, and you know obviously like you know Xi and Zhang like seem to be there seem to be kind of a battle that's happening there, right? Because and this the one thing I think is also important with this is that you know there's a lot of people that are saying there's this narrative going around that well Xi Jinping is a nationalist and he's purging all the bad people in the CCP because he wants to get rid of communism and that he's actually a good guy. And I think it's just a really, it seems to be a theory coming from people that don't really understand communism very well.
Yeah.
And just to kind of put it more bluntly. But the way that I look at this is that, you know, every crime family, every criminal organization, every corrupt dictatorship government, it's like the oldest story in history of politicians backstabbing each other to get ahead. And so, I think what we're seeing is that we're seeing a power play within the Chinese Communist Party. I've also heard a lot of information that paints the picture that a lot of the people in the high-level Communist Party are actually really concerned with the power trip that Xi has been on.
100%.
They're concerned that he's reviving a Maoist-type communism with a worship of Xi, which if you look at how he's distributing his writings, everything, it goes much more than that. So there's actually concern that actually Xi is too much of a communist. And there's worry that she is going to try some sort of more concrete attack on eventually America. And so there's actually a lot of people that don't support that within the high levels of the CCP, because, right, you know, it's like that always happens as well. Ahead of a war, it's like people are for it, people are against it. But one of the concerns that comes out of it for me is just the worry that that she was waiting for to secure this next stage of power within the CCP before he takes any more drastic moves. And that's kind of what we were talking about more with Jeff Nyquist, which I can get into that a little bit if you guys want to at a later time. But we got really kind of deep into the like what's happening with the vaccines and how that might relate to the CCP.
Interesting.
And that became kind of a crazy rabbit trail that we went down. And the best way to kind of summarize that discussion is like, wow, like it's like this disturbing theory about the vaccines and the CCP, it makes too much sense, right?
Interesting.
So, but anyway, I don't want to sidetrack us too far off the main topic.
So it's interesting because, well, one, Xi Jinping has purged about 1 million officials, I think it has been, since he's been the leader of China. And all of it is just very vague, just like corruption, right? But truthfully, if he wanted to end, and a lot of the people that he purged were the people that were part of Zhang's fraction or just done really horrible things still, you know? So there's still this like infighting between that. Now, from what I know, when there was Hu Jintao, and the person underneath Hu Jintao was Wen Jiabao. Wen Jiabao, it would be like considered like the vice president. He was against the Tiananmen Square massacre. He was one of the people that actually spoke out against it. Now, when she got into power in 2000, I think it was like 2012, they had their, I guess here you would say the Congress. I don't know their parties
or the Politburo or
whatever it is. You know, they had their meeting on who would be the next leader because Hu Jintao had to step down. And then Jiang Zemin was there, and they debated for 18 hours on who the next leader would be. Because I remember I was working in the media at the time, and we were like, man, this is insane having this going on in 18 hours. Because each one of them wanted their own person. Zhang wanted Bo Xilai. I don't know if you guys remember Bo Xilai, but he was like he would be the biggest gangster dude there was in China. This dude beat up his own father. That's how evil this guy was. And he would just persecute anybody. He was torturing people. And that's why Zhang wanted him. Hu Jintao wanted somebody else who was a democratic dude, actually. He wanted to bring democracy into China. And that's why they debated for so long. And then they finally settled on Xi. Zhang chose Xi because Xi had no power at that time and didn't have any backing, and he thought it would be easy to control. And Hu Jintao chose him because he didn't really agree with Zhang. That was really a compromise that they had. So technically, Xi Jinping needs to step down now. But he's going to be there for another third term, I guess. So it's kind of interesting because that shouldn't actually happen. So it's possible that Hu Jintao may have different opinions about this, maybe not wanting Xi to continue on. So anyway, it's really, as we're talking about all this, there's all this like weird infighting, and then it's like, who's on what side? And it's like, really all it comes down to is who wants to end communism in China? Like really that's like the center point, you know? And anybody that doesn't, as you guys are saying, it's like, then, you know, that's what's weird. But I know for a fact, Wen Jiabao was the vice president guy, he apologized for not doing enough, and even apologized for not doing enough he didn't mention Falun Gong directly, but he was talking about the persecutions directly in China and how they didn't do enough and they couldn't do it because really Zhang was still in control of a lot of things during that time. But anyway, just some backstory on some weird China stuff. I mean, Rob, this is like, you know, with Rob and I, or actually all three of us. I mean, this is like something we've really dived into for years and years, and like, you know, researched this, studied this, talked to so many people, and try to really expose a lot what's happening.
Yeah, and I feel like that we could probably go, like, I've got a whole different topic to bring up as it relates to this and like propaganda and communism, but maybe we should jump to the main thing. Cause
yeah,
I mean, I really want to say some things, but I also want to I want to make sure we have time for,
yeah, we should get
Elon and all that social
here. Elon, and
this is the crazy stuff happening.
Well, what if I'll give you like a 60 second summary? Cause I think it's a really important point is that,
okay.
There's something that I'm seeing that it's emerging, and it's worrisome to me because I'm looking at a lot of comments, especially to any kind of video that kind of criticizes the CCP or criticizes communism in Russia. And what I'm seeing is that there's been a lot of communist infiltration into even the far right, people in America. And I'm seeing this narrative that's really making it out to, like, it's like, no, the people saying, look, the US is the real enemy, like the deep state, the United States, they're the real enemy. And so I think that, like, I'm not disregarding the fact that I think that the US and especially the military industrial complex has done like treacherous things around the world, but there's still like the US is what protects us. Like the United States is like why we're free. And so I'm seeing a lot of people that are actually like, it's almost like that they're starting to hate their own country and like actually be pro Russia and pro China because they're following that line of thinking. And I just think it's a really dangerous way of thinking. And to me, like that right there is like a very, very communist tactic to get people to think like that. Because the communists always twist. They want to confuse you on who the real enemy is. And the best thing they can do is to make us think that like our own country is the actual enemy. Like, right, I've even seen people commenting, like, I'd be excited if Chinese troops showed up on American shores. And it's like, people don't realize, like,
yeah, you know what that means.
The US has done some bad things. Trust me. Like, I know a lot of, I interviewed Kathy O'Brien. Trust me. I know what the agencies have done. But at the same time, a lot of like, people don't realize is that a lot of the evil that's actually happened in the United States is because of infiltration from the KGB, from the Soviet Union, from Russia, and from the CCP. So I just want to put that point out there because I think it's actually a really important point for people to really just kind of watch their thinking. That's all.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about Elon and Twitter right now. Speaking of communist infiltration, you know, with it's like Twitter was taken over, it seems like, by communists, by China. You know, all the like the leftist mindset of so many things, and
him bringing a sink in,
dude.
Did let this sink in.
It was genius.
Hilarious.
It was so genius. Well, there was
literally within, you know, a few minutes of him walking in. I mean, the three major people at Twitter were fired, mm-hmm. and the legal advisor, that woman, what was her name?
I can't remember
her name. Begins with a V. But anyway, she's this Indian woman. She was the one that actually was responsible for Trump actually getting booted off of Twitter.
Oh, so, no way.
Yeah,
really?
So she, the CEO,
wow.
And the CFO all got booted right away.
Wow. Well, I can honestly say that, you know, well, all of our accounts, well, actually, Seth, you still have your Twitter account, but Rob and I, we had our personal ones suspended, and then we had On Edge of Wonder suspended, and then I created a new one, and I will get like maybe 5 likes for every post that I make. And today I just tested it, and I was actually getting a response from people. People were seeing my tweets and I couldn't believe it. So, it does look like there's something going on. And Seth, you said you gained a lot of followers today, right?
Yeah. I mean, last I remember checking, I was at maybe like 5,400 or something. It's still a very small account, but
yeah, I mean,
today was it like 6,200 all of a sudden? I was like, nice. That was, I mean, I really haven't put much emphasis on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Look, it's like, if we have another way to grow and reach people, like the thing is like Twitter, yeah. It was, what's out there? 6,154. But like the interesting thing, I know that you guys have kind of navigated the social media waters quite a bit, but the value of a place like Twitter is that you can actually go viral. Like you can have a tweet that gets shared. You can have a tweet get, you know, retweeted by a big account, right? Like it's really hard to do that on Telegram, on Rumble, even Truth Social. It's really difficult to do that. And there's a lot of people, because I still have a YouTube channel and I still put the majority of my videos up on YouTube. People are like, why are you using YouTube? They're communists. And it's like, well, you know, we still like, our goal is to reach people. And actually, I think it's even more important for us to reach the people we don't agree with. Like that's the most important thing.
To reach those retarded people.
You know? And usually when you approach it like that, that they'd really take that very well.
Yeah. That's what I found personally.
Yeah. And you know, what's going to end up happening though? I mean, this is what I'm predicting. I'm predicting that, like, dude, this guy, this Brooklyn dad defiant guy, he's on every single, whoever it is.
It's a bot is what it is.
Whoever it is, he's always on the top. Always. If it's like a conservative account.
Oh, I always see this guy. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah. I think he truly is a real guy. But what we're going to start seeing is I think that a lot of the left-leaning people are being followed by a lot of bots, and their accounts are going to start going down. The conservative accounts will start to go up because they don't have bots following them and they're not going to be shadow banned anymore. And there's going to be, I believe this is going to now be this like agenda where it's like, oh, Elon's catering to the conservative. Why are all the left people losing people? And then all the right are gaining people. And it's like, well, really, because they're all being propped up by bots. So, you know, that's kind of what I think will end up happening, but I hope I'm wrong because
why are those screenshots going up with the likes being circled? Like, what is that showing us?
Yeah.
There?
Yeah. Do you want to get this?
Go ahead.
Or Rob. Yeah.
Yeah. It's go ahead, Rob.
Just, so before when those guys would tweet, it would be like in the five figures of like likes and shares and all of this stuff. And now they're like, they're down like to, like 300 what they were.
Oh, right? I see.
So it's like a much more
smaller engagement,
like an actual like reasonable number of you know, like the actual number of people that are actually following these people and saying stuff, doing things, you know. That's why that's significant, is these people like crushing it before, but they're all pumped up by these bots. They don't know what's really going on, you know.
Right. Or they do, and they're just in denial about it.
Yeah, now they are. So. They think this is Elon, like, suffocating them or something.
Yeah, no, that's what's going to come out about it. Like, Elon's coming, taking over, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this is like a really, to me, this is like such, I mean, a win for humanity, honestly. You know, whatever your opinions are of Elon, as I always said, you know, if he can make Twitter a free place, then, you know, because to me, Twitter was my go-to source because you have everybody on it. And that's why he calls it the town hall, because it's everybody is on Twitter from both sides and talking about this. And it's like, you know, I like Truth Social, but it's like, I just feel like I'm in this echo chamber and it's hard for things to really, because sometimes things go viral on Twitter because somebody with an opposing view is sharing it because they don't agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then other people are responding to it. And then people that do agree with it are responding to it. And like, man, when we were on Twitter, I was responding to like Hillary Clinton stuff and I would see it at the top, you know, because I would like catch it right away. You know,
well, you're like besties with Hillary, right?
Yeah. I was always like, hey, no, really.
It's like, hey, Hillary, BFF.
Exposing what she was doing. No, because, you know, it was just really interesting that you could just make a comment, tweet, respond to anybody. And, you know, it was all about kind of timing and to see, you know, and then it was just a fairness. And then Twitter changed their algorithm. And then it's like everybody's conservative comments were just pushed at the bottom. And only the ones that supported those views were at the top. And hopefully we won't see that anymore.
But, you know, it's kind of crazy. And here's a really interesting question to throw out there. Like, so what we're seeing right now is you look at the three main kind of town square social medias, right? Which I look at Facebook as almost like a community building. It's about like your friends, your family.
TikTok
is Twitter you know, like Twitter is really like more like your town square. I should say it before
Facebook,
Maine,
because Facebook is a senior center, is what I mean meant to say.
Oh yes, that's true.
TikTok is just it's the premier one right now.
But TikTok is like, you know, we can thank TikTok for turning our kids into little trans people. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's exactly what they're doing with TikTok and targeting little kids.
To be fair, it's not just TikTok. I mean,
it's this, you know, Instagram, etc.
Twitter has way more leverage over people than anyone really understood, because it was the source for breaking news for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So,
I was just more saying in terms of like young kids being influenced, you know, like through the algorithms.
Like the influence through imagery and stuff, yes, but actually the influence and agenda, Twitter. Do you know what I mean?
That's the point that I was making, actually, and kind of bring up the questions, because you look at like Twitter, you know, like Twitter, Truth Social, Getter, Parler, Gab, for instance. You know, these are all the exact same social media format. They're all town squares, right? That's where like the public debate happens. All of those are now owned by like non-controlled liberals, right? You've got Andrew Torba, you've got Kanye, you've got, I'm not sure, you know, well, you have Jason Miller, who's kind of a big part of Getter. I can't say who the actual, owner is. It might be Miles Guo for all we know. Then obviously, you know, Trump with Truth Social.
Mm-hmm.
This is a significant shift. Like, this is like, it's actually a really, really significant shift, because we all know the role, and this is kind of what you're getting to, Rob, the role that social media plays, but especially the role that these types of media play, especially the role that Twitter plays. Like, Twitter is where the public conversation happens about things, right? And so, but what's interesting to me is I'm wondering, when does this kind of start actually leaking into the media realm? You know, like, when are we going to see that, like, you know, someone like Elon Musk buys CNN? You know what I mean? Because that's like, now, like, you can see that the people that are fighting, like, they're now taking over the social media platforms. Like, I would love to see YouTube, you know, bought, but unfortunately YouTube is owned by Google, which is
Google, it's like Google getting somehow owned by someone would be the best.
It's like someone buying Meta, you know what I mean? Or someone buying Amazon. But it's like, I'd love to see, like, gosh, you like, imagine if Elon Musk buys CNN or even Fox. I mean, the thing is like, I still don't fully trust Elon Musk, and it's like, that's okay. You know what I mean? What I'm seeing him do, though, is encouraging. You know what I mean? It seems like he's using his power to do the right things. And that, to me, like, that gives you a big book, right?
Right. And actually, someone just mentioned this in the chat, but this was a point I was just going to bring up. Again, no one freaked out when Jeff Bezos, who's Amazon, bought Washington Post and then changed the freaking...
Or Whole Foods.
Yeah, or Whole Foods, and changed the whole thing to, like, democracy dies in darkness. No one's like, oh, that's okay. It's like, what the heck? Like, does he want America to, like, burn down in flames? Like, to me, that was that slogan. And it's like, everyone's like, yeah, that's okay. But as soon as Elon wants to buy Twitter, it's like, everyone's freaking out about it.
Yeah, so the guy weird. That literally created their electric car wet dream.
It's so true.
It's such a, we live in such Dude. A backwards, weird world. One thing I will say, though, is regarding my concern around, I will bring this up, my concern around Elon's tweet, making an everything app.
True. Okay.
Now, what the concern?
I don't really know what that means.
The an everything app in that space. We need to look at history. How many times has it worked when humans have centralized something when they were really not supposed to? I mean, Babylon was a big enough of a lesson in history of when, you know. Okay, this is different, of course, but it's like, I'm just using this example, right? Everyone was told to go their separate ways and develop families all across the world. Instead, they centralized everything, created a one world government, basically, in Babylon, built the Tower of Babel. The entire thing got struck down, right? Everything being decentralized in America is what made America great. Different industries, different people doing different things. When you have one app, you know, one app to rule them all, it's an easy target for infiltration, where some entity can control that app whether it be Elon, whether it be someone else, and it can take over a certain amount of things that we don't want it taking over, right? Mm-hmm. I don't agree with centralized types of companies like this, because it is reminiscent of the one world government that we're all not really for. Like, the globalization is what we're not really for. So I do think that, you know, that's something to be watching and for us to be, I think, guarding up against. But, you know, everything he's doing right now seems to be a good thing.
I share your same concerns, Rob. And this is like, just overall, the big picture for me too, is that it's like, where does this lead? You know what I mean? Because this is the guy that's behind Neuralink. This is the guy that's behind, you know, basically his own version of Skynet, right? You know, with all the, Starlink. It's kind of like,
what's the end goal of this? AI, right? Like, he's behind the AI, so you're right.
Yeah, he's developing robots, and, you know, it's like the road to hell was paved with good intentions. You know what I mean? And if you look at all that kind of stuff, it's like there's a few things.
I go buy donuts.
What's that?
I said I tell myself that every time I go buy donuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you look at and you kind of piece it all together, it's like there's a few things that I've kind of come to a more absolute view on, right? One, communism is bad. Communism is evil. Two, the CCP is bad and evil, right? Like, that's it. But three is transhumanism is bad and evil. Like, the merger of man and technology, like, I fundamentally believe it's evil, right? Now, there are certain instances of it where it's like, okay, maybe like a pacemaker or whatever, but the transhumanist future that, you know, Harari talks about, or Klaus Schwab, or even Elon Musk, like, that's something to me that I don't think is good. I think it's actually bad. And it's like, I think that a lot of the technology that we're using is not of a human origin, right? Like, and so, just to kind of put it lightly. And so I think that the further humans get into this stuff, it's like, it's taking us away from how God intended us. Cause if you look at, well, I guess that's a bigger discussion. I'm not going to get into that, but that's just what concerns me, though, is that, you know, with Elon talking about the Everything app, the X app, it's like, what does that mean? Is like, does he want to eventually have something that's kind of like a chip implant, or, you know, is this going to be Neuralink related? Is it going to be virtual reality related? I don't know. I just don't see it. And yeah, it's like, you're right, Rob. You made a really good point, is whenever anything gets so much centralized power, it can be taken over. And like the best example is Skynet. You know what I mean? Like, it's the best example. It's like, you know, if he wants this Everything app, this X app that becomes really powerful in the world, what if it becomes sentient and takes over itself? It's exactly what happened
Terminator. This is why monopolies are bad. This is why everybody hates people who monopolize things. It's simple. It's like it ends up screwing everything up. We need different industries and different things, and we don't need an Everything app. We need,
So we need to play a trailer, but I actually just looked up what is the Everything app and what it does, and I found an article that breaks it down. So let's talk about it after the trailer break. So, Rob, why don't you tell us what's on this trailer?
It's a bunch of our Halloween stuff. I mean, surprise. Check this trailer out.
In our last episode, we showed that there was more evidence of the Salem witch trials being connected to a deep state operation and having more truth than any of us previously realized. Not only did we discover connections to the occult, but it seems that the mass hysteria triggered by these events was also organized by one of the deep state families to achieve multiple objectives. So grab the popcorn, light some candles, and lock the door. Because in this episode, we're going to share 5 stories of real witches and magicians that show us how this history is far different and much scarier than anything Sabrina the Teenage Witch could ever conjure up. On this episode of The Edge of Wonder.
Wonder. Wonder.
What has hooves? A goat's head. Bat wings. And a forked tail. It's the Jersey Devil. The mysterious cryptid that haunts the forests and skies of New Jersey. But this beast has a story beyond legend. Locals actually claim to be descendants of the original Jersey Devil. What unexplainable things have happened that would convince anyone this creature is lurking in the shadows? Why were Ben Franklin and Teddy Roosevelt part of the story? What kind of devilish, winged lizard beings are really hiding out in the cosmos? Are all claims of the Jersey Devil just a hoax? It's time to crack open the Edge Files and pull out one of our most classified cases yet. As we ask, is this flying fiend real? Find out all about it in Tales of the Cryptids, Episode 2, The Jersey Devil. Only on edgeofwonder.tv.
The Jersey Devil. I thought you were going to bring up the Jersey Devil, not friggin' Slender Man earlier. It's bad enough they have the Jersey Devil in New Jersey. Now they got to deal with Slender Man too. Come on, man.
Crazy, man.
I'll tell you what. Like, I think there's very few things that would scare me more than seeing a Slender Man like that. Like, that would be so creepy. Dude,
no, you don't understand.
We've had fans tell us.
You guys.
They've seen things like that.
So easy to take that guy out. He's got stick legs. Just kick him right out from under him. Drop an elbow on his faceless face. That's and true. You're good.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can try that.
I know. I totally would. Dude, if I saw
I know you'd try.
Right at it.
That's funny. All right. Well, okay. So
what's the X app, Ben?
Yeah, so what this is. So this is a quote from Elon. He says, if you're in China, you kind of live on WeChat. And it's true. Everybody in China lives on WeChat. And he goes on to say it does everything. It's sort of like Twitter plus PayPal plus a whole bunch of other things rolled into one with a great interface. So it is true. Everybody who's in China uses this app. Everyone outside of China also kind of uses this, and there's a lot of things you can do. And
WeChat is extremely taken advantage of by the Chinese Communist.
It is, though. That's the only problem.
It's like that app gives the CCP their entire ability to, like, social credit score you.
Which brings us right back to the point that we were making. About,
yeah, I agree. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that he is right. Everyone does use this app, and it can do all kinds of things. So at least now I kind of get an idea of where he's going for. Now, with PayPal, dude, this is insane. Okay, so, you know, we're all, like, blasting PayPal because they put that $2,500 fine, and then they're like, oh, no, that's a mistake. And then after things kind of calmed down yesterday, they reinstated it back in their terms and conditions.
Wait, they put it back in there?
They put it back. It's there right now.
So the being able to steal the $2,000 or whatever is back.
Yeah, for like misinformation from companies. Now, it's saying companies, but still, you know.
Why is anyone using
It's PayPal so right weird. Now? And then they were actually apologizing, and all the media is like, oh, everyone got it wrong. They didn't mean to put that in there. And then sure enough, yesterday, they quietly slipped it back in. So it's there now. So a lot of people today started deleting their PayPal account again. So that's why it's like, I even feel kind of weird having PayPal on my phone. I don't use
PayPal. So
yeah, I don't use it that much. And then, like, there's Venmo. PayPal owns Venmo, I found out, which is probably, you know, one of the reasons why I got booted off of Venmo or for whatever reason. So anyway, it's just kind of interesting because there does need to be something. And Elon did create PayPal before it was bought. So
a long time ago.
That was the first thing he did. So I don't know. I guess we'll kind of see how this goes and see what his vision is. I mean, maybe it won't really pan out like he's expecting, but who knows?
I think it's time to bring Rick Astley into this conversation. You guys agree? Yeah. Never going to.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah. Always Rick Astley.
Who's Rick Astley?
What? You know. Never gonna give
the Rick rolling.
Never gonna let you
see. Okay, this is the discussion that we had before the show, right?
Yeah,
is that you guys are like, oh, you know, Don Johnson, Miami Vice? Oh, no. Rob was saying, no, I was Don.
This is not the same thing because
this is not the same thing. Everyone knows.
A few years ago, everyone was Rick rolling, and it all had to do with Rick Astley. You're just out of it.
But oh, wait,
when did that song come out?
You're nodding.
1987, 88.
Yeah, I had the cassette tape. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you would have.
But then it's like, you know, no one
this has nothing to do with when Rick Astley came out. It has
everybody knows to do Rick Rolling. With
Rick Rolling.
Yeah,
at around 2010 or 2009 when that was going down.
Yeah, it became I was like
so not on social media around that time. I was working like 20 hours a day at the Epoch Times around that time.
I was there. I still know about Rick Rolling.
But actually, I have to admit.
Late at night, drooling together.
Yeah, this is never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you.
Want to play a little bit of his tune?
And he actually, play a little bit. You can play a little because everyone.
I don't think we can legally play their music.
It's okay. This thing is everywhere.
We're not on YouTube.
Just play it a little bit.
We're no strangers to love. You know the rules.
Dude, there's so many genius ways that people will, like, throw this in to, like, Rickroll people. And it's in movies. It's in all kinds. Dude, it's referenced in, like, everything in pop culture now. But I have to admit, Elon's tweet wasn't... I don't think it's referencing this.
It's this.
I mean, look, I've heard this song. What is it? Like, I have no idea.
It's just Rickrolling. I don't know how to explain it. It's like
I have no idea.
You're going to be click on something, and it's like something's supposed to come up, and then this comes up instead.
Yeah.
And it's just called Rickrolling because everyone It's just this internet meme sensation video that's everywhere. He'll never give you, never let you. This prime minister. Oh, this is hilarious. See, it's like this kind of stuff is really funny.
Yeah, but did you guys notice that he was wearing a denim shirt with jeans? It, like, how did he not get shot for that? Seriously,
it's the 80s, man. It's all good. Pretty funny. that's hilarious. It's good stuff, though. I'm so shocked.
We got to get into this before we go out of here. Before we leave here, we got to talk about Amazon and Facebook and Kanye. So, what happened with Amazon and Facebook? I mean, basically, Facebook is losing tons of cash. Well, at least, you know, he's losing stock money.
Stock money.
It's not liquid.
$600 billion. Poof.
No, $100 billion, wasn't it?
Well, it was $100 billion, but total for this year, it was $600 billion for this year.
Okay.
It's the most that any company in history ever lost.
That's just worth. Like, it's not
real. Well, it is true. It's not real, but people who have stock, I mean, that was all lost.
Right. But they're also holding out that the metaverse is going to start exploding or something. The thing that's insane is that I think I don't have the exact numbers here, but they had something like 80 billion in, or like something ridiculous, like 40 billion in net profit last year. And they're coming in around the same, even if it's like 25 billion instead of 40 billion net profit, 25 billion is absolutely ridiculous. You know, like they're bringing in a lot of cash still. And they have a lot to play with to build the metaverse to do all of these things. We're just going to, I guess, have to see what happens. Wow. Thank you so much, Astros 2017.
Wow. Yeah, that's the guy I saw yesterday.
Ah, Joseph. Thanks, man. I wish I could have seen you, too.
That is crazy. Yeah, thank you. Really, man. Wow. That's really nice of you to donate $100, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. But, yeah, I mean, to continue on with what you were saying, Rob, Amazon's now in the same boat too. You know, they lost 20%, and it's like, what is going on? You know, yeah, 700 billion. I thought I read 600, but I guess now it's 700 because it just keeps going down. And
well, you know, Common Man actually commented on this, is that so Jim Cramer, who's a guy that is like the main financial guy, I think for CNBC, was literally crying on air because he felt so bad for like advising people that they should invest in Meta. Like, and Lindsay, if you can find it, it's interesting. Wow. Actually, it's this like mainstream media, like anchor is crying and apologizing to people because he was so wrong about.
Oh, yeah, that was lame. I've seen this. When did I see this?
That just happened yesterday.
Dane sent this out, or was it you, Seth?
I think it's MSNBC. I don't watch the guy, so you know I don't know exactly which news channel he's on, but. So if you can find, CNBC, if you can find the video of it, which I'm not sure if you'll be able to, but.
Wow, that's crazy.
Like, yeah, it was pretty crazy. The thing is, I wouldn't be taking investing advice from CNBC. That's like taking like vaccine advice from CNBC.
You know, the best way to take advice is to watch what Nancy Pelosi is doing with her stocks and just buy those.
Unless you're her husband, you get hammered.
You get hammered if you live in San Francisco, apparently, too, because you got attacked.
And there's a lot of weird stuff.
There is weird stuff.
Like,
man,
they're saying that the guy who attacked him was like this like MAGA guy, but he's actually like a super hippie and like a nudist, you know, like some sort of like Castro nudist colony or something. And
well, it's also weird how the police report. I've been looking into this a little bit before we went live. The police report and when the police came, there's some conflicting reports about this. So it's really weird.
It was not ready. It was not near enough. This situation is almost a rogue situation. I had thought there would be an understanding that you just can't spend right through your free cash flow. That there had to be some level of discipline, and I didn't get it. But David, what did I get wrong? I trusted them, not myself.
I trusted them and not myself.
I've been in this business for 40 years, and I did a bad job.
Dude, he's just doing this just proud. Because,
you're
like...
Not proud. You're not alone, Jim. Morgan Stanley today downgrades it for the first...
Billions.
That guy on the left was just like, what's going on here? Jeez. This is like a bad soap opera.
Nearly $1 trillion that was wiped out from Facebook. Crazy. That is just insane.
It's not real money, though.
But you're saying that, but it's real money to the people who invested in it.
It doesn't.
I mean, that's
money doesn't exist anywhere. It's worth less money now.
Yeah, it's worth less. But for the people who invested, I mean, if I was an investor and I invested $10 million into it last year, that $10 million is now worth like just a couple hundred thousand or something.
6 cents.
So to me, that would definitely be real.
This is basically why I don't invest.
Yeah, because you don't. Yeah, exactly. Like these kinds of companies. I did make money off Twitter since Elon bought it. Not a whole lot, but you know.
Here's my this is my
I don't
stock
know when
market.
I'm gonna get that money though, but
that's where it all
I'm saying. It's like it's like easier to buy stuff that you know is just going to it's not gonna go crazy high, but it is gonna keep its value over time, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. This is the thing is that like if someone attacks me, I can bludgeon them. You know what I mean? Like with my investment, I could be like, that's my invest. That and brass. Those are the two metals I purchased. Silver and brass.
Brass.
Both are good for protecting yourself.
Brass?
Ammunition. Brass is like the kind of nickname for ammo. It's all brass casing. So you say, you know, silver, gold, and brass.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, so
what's going on with Kanye? Because we got to get on to the dig deep soon.
Oh yeah, we're already past that. Well, Kanye, obviously, you know, we know he bought Parler. He's coming out talking about exposing a lot of the what he says, like the Jewish stuff, which that's a whole different rabbit hole that I'm sure you guys have kind of dug into before. But I mean, it's interesting seeing how that like what's with these kind of non controlled people, or so we think they're not controlled, buying up these social media. But also the weird thing is that, like, you know who was the guy that owned Parler, right?
Who was it again? I forget.
Candace Owens' husband.
That's right.
So it's just weird. I don't know. Just weird.
Well, and actually he owns, Kanye owns, so, you know, Adidas dropped him. He's getting dropped by everybody. And with Adidas, it was like a huge $2 billion, maybe $1 billion or $2 billion, somewhere around there. But it turns out he owns 100% of Yeezy, his footwear,
his brand.
So technically he could just turn around and sell it to somebody else. He could just do it on his own. He was just using Adidas. So that's very fascinating. So, cause I didn't realize that he still owns that. So,
The thing is that like Parler's dead. When's the last time either of you guys used Parler?
I couldn't even get on Parler.
I think I've got like 20,000 followers on there. Like, I actually had a pretty decently successful account on there, but now I go back and I'll put a post on there maybe 2 months ago and it got 37 views. It's like this place, it was desolate. So I wonder what's he gonna do with it? How much did he get it for? You know what I mean? I know it has a huge user base, but no one's using it anymore, especially with Truth and Twitter. Why use Parler?
I just haven't really been on it much. So I don't know, unless he has a plan or, you know, thinking something through. I mean, ever since Parler was kind of kicked off and it's been kind of weird, but I don't know. I need to revisit Parler, see what's going on with it.
All right, guys, we got to get to the dig deep. So everybody at home, it is time to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.tv, where we'll jump into the exclusive parts of tonight's show. First, we'll have a dig deep Q&A where you can ask us your questions directly. We've gotten everything from what our favorite foods are to whether we think time traveling AI is real to how to find hope in dark times. Then we have top 10 weirder news of the week. And tonight's is super weird. So stay tuned for alien stories, a drug bust implicating a major news network, mythical creatures found in real life, and the top spirit Halloween memes we found, which will have you laughing at the end of a long
they're
week.
So good. So good.
So join us on Rise.tv for just $9.99 a month. You can support our work and we can keep bringing you these live shows where we dive into the truth about what's happening in the world. And we're so thankful for all of your support and for Rise TV community, which has us really become like family over there. So check out these trailers on the real life Dracula, Vlad the Impaler, and our series on celebrity possession. Then come join us on Rise.tv.
I assure you, vampires are just in the movies. I would swear it on my soul if I had one. What truths are lurking in our legends? They couldn't possibly be based on a real-life monster, could they? Vlad the Impaler was not just known for his war tactics. Some say that he was also the world's first vampire, Dracula. But is it all just a batty tale? Or are the movies talking about something real? Find out in part one of Edge of Wonders Halloween series, Vlad the Impaler and Dracula. We told you the what. We showed you the who. Now, get ready as we blow the biggest lid off of the how. The deep state thought they were clever, hiding their demonic plans in a music video series. But Edge of Wonder discovered their little docu-series. And you can bet your salvation that we are bringing this agenda to the light. Don't miss this epic conclusion of biblical proportions on Celebrity Possession.
Man, these are some really good questions here. I don't even know where to start.